John chapter 14 and at verse 15 to 31. John chapter 14 at verse 15. And Jesus is speaking. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has laid hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me." John White, in his book The Fight, describes the Holy Spirit as a personal tutor. So in our individual lives, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to teach us, to tutor us. And David Foote Nash, in his book Stand to Reason, he describes the Holy Spirit as the team manager of the church. So if you put the two together, the Holy Spirit is our own personal teacher and tutor, and in the context of our church fellowship, he should be the team manager. I think those two definitions are very helpful as we take a look at John chapter 14 and those verses we read together. I want us to focus on the ministry of the Holy Spirit as Jesus described it. If you're now John's Gospel, you'll know that chapters 14, 15 and 16 contain a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit. We're introduced in John 3 to the Holy Spirit there, where Jesus said that we need to be born again of the Holy Spirit. But 14, 15 and 16 contain a lot of teaching about him. And it's interesting to see the context, because we are in the last week of our Lord's life. And the disciples had a sense of impending doom, that there was a kind of an atmosphere, and things were happening that were sinister. Warnings were given, and they didn't quite understand what Jesus was on about. Well, now during that time, some of the disciples got the wrong end of the stick and wanted to be top dog. Well, now that Jesus said some very strange things to Judas Iscariot about going away and doing what he had to do. Well, now that Peter was warned by Jesus that he was going to betray him. So he can sense an uncomfortable underlying fear in the hearts of these disciples. Something was about to break loose, and they were very uncomfortable about it. And it is in this context that Jesus taught a lot about the Holy Spirit. He said this phrase, he didn't want them to remain orphans. He was going to warn them that in the coming day or two, they were going to feel very much on their own. And we know from the Gospels that they, after the death of Jesus, even though they had knowledge of his resurrection, they met together in fear. They couldn't quite understand what was happening. And it was only 40 days after his resurrection, when the Holy Spirit burst on the early church in Acts 2, that they realized what Jesus had been saying here in John 14. And it's interesting that there are three ways that the Holy Spirit is described in this passage. He's described as another counsellor, that's in verse 16, and in verse 26. You go on into chapter 15, at verse 26, when the counsellor comes, and in chapter 16, verse 7. Unless I go away, the counsellor will not come to you. So he is described as the counsellor. Then he is described as the Spirit of Truth. 14, verse 17, he will give you another counsellor, the Spirit of Truth. And again in 15:26, when the counselor comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth. And in John 16 verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes. And then the third description is that in 14 verse 26, the counsel of the Holy Spirit. So these are three descriptions. the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. And I just want to unpack those three descriptions for, I hope, our comfort, our strengthening, and our encouragement. First of all, Counselor, or another Counselor. When Jesus was on earth, he had a wonderful counseling ministry. Time and time again, as well as addressing huge crowds of a small group, he also dealt with individuals, and it's fascinating to see all the different encounters he had with individuals. The woman at the well, the disciples, all sorts of different incidents. Unmarried people, he healed, the woman with the issue of blood, those who brought their children, their needs to Jesus. And it says in John's Gospel again early on that all knew what was in man. He could read people like a book. He could, with his laser beam of understanding, could see right into the depth of people's hearts. And that's why sometimes when people were brought for healing, he said, your sins are forgiven you. Because he saw that their real need was not just to be physically healed, but to be spiritually healed, to be forgiven of sin. So Jesus had this wonderful ministry, a care ministry, that encompassed all people, young and old. You remember he said, let the children come to me. Don't you start barring children from me, because they teach us something, and we've got to become like little children. And he cared for older people. Simon Peter's mother. And now he says, I'm going to send you another Counselor. And it's the same Greek word all the time, which really means one called alongside to help. Jesus came alongside people to help. And now he is saying, when I've died on the cross, when I've been raised from the dead, when I've ascended into heaven, when I'm gone, God the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit to be another Counselor. The Holy Spirit will be the one who will come alongside to help. And so if you look in different translations of the Bible, you'll see umpteen different translations of this Greek word. They range from Counselor here, to Helper, Advocate, One to Befriend, in the Message, Friend, Comforter in the AV, Someone Else to Stand By You, to Be With You Always, that was J.V. Phillips. Some people see a kind of legal background to this word Counselor. The idea of a defence barrister advocating the cause of the defendant in the court of God. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to stand alongside us and to administer God's comfort. And I find a most beautiful description of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and if you've got your Bible there, please turn to it. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. Now the Holy Spirit is not mentioned in this passage. The word comfort is mentioned 9 times. And it's the same basic Greek word as the word counselor. So in a way, I believe this passage is demonstrating how the Holy Spirit, the counselor, brings God's comfort to people when they're in need. It goes like this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Now, it's quite a deep passage, and there are all sorts of things going on here: suffering, difficulty, people in trouble. But in the midst of all that, I believe it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit bringing comfort. 9 times that verb is used, to comfort. Paul is very autobiographical in 2 Corinthians. If you want to see the man on bed, read this lovely epistle, because he really does show the depth of the experience that he had of Jesus Christ in his life. And he shows the depth of the suffering he went through. He didn't have it easy. He gives, I think, a couple of times a list of things that he endured. I mean, physical beatings, mental anguish, the burden that he felt for Christians, for the church. But here in a nutshell is the inner ministry of the Holy Spirit, who brings comfort. Perhaps this morning some of you are desperately in need of God's comfort. The Holy Spirit is here in our midst. He ministers through communion. He ministers to your heart and life, just as he does to mine. I don't want to be too autobiographical, but a fortnight ago I was preaching at Park Road Baptist Church, and the sun, not literally, but it was shining. We'd had a lovely weekend with my grandson. He was 13, gone to Pizza Express in Stamford on Saturday. I was preaching at Park Road on Sunday, and by Monday my son Stephen had a bleed on the brain and was eventually in Addenbrookes. That happened just like that. And he had an operation last Monday, and he's back at Peterborough now. And I want to say, this passage has really ministered to me. You know, this isn't theory. This is when you're up against it, when you need comfort. And God has comforted me through that passage. The Holy Spirit has ministered, has been a counsellor to me, and to him and to the family. You see, it's real, absolutely real. And if some of you are in real need this morning, if your lives are in a bit of a mess, or you're going through circumstances that you certainly didn't want to go through, then let the Holy Spirit minister to you where you are. Let these words of comfort speak to your heart and percolate through your experience. You say, here is the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the one who comes alongside to help, and who comforts day by day. I think of, I don't know if any of you been in Northumberland to Alnwick. I never know how to pronounce it. Is it Alnwick or Alnwick? And there's a wonderful garden in Alnwick, and there are these waterfalls that the water cascades down them. And I remember we were there last year, my daughter and her two little ones, and Marlon, her husband, and we didn't quite realise that these fountains cascaded in a sequence. And so I was standing towards the bottom on this, you know, pathway, and we watched the, you know, the water, the fountains cascading down, and suddenly realised we were in danger, and we managed to get out of the way, but my little granddaughter Elizabeth didn't quite make it. She didn't mind, it was a nice day, she got quite wet. And it went on a bit further. And somehow, there's a picture to me of the cascading ministry and refreshing grace of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not a thing or an influence or a power. He is the third person of the Trinity, and he's there to comfort us with his presence and his love and grace. So that's the first thing about the Holy Spirit. He's the counselor. And then the second is that he is the Spirit of truth. Earlier in John 14, you remember Jesus made that great statement, I am the way and the truth and the life. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to bring us God's truth. First of all, through the written word of God, it says all scripture is God breathed. Spirit's ministry was to work in the hearts of his servants, to write down their different experiences in all the books of the Bible, to inspire the way that they wrote it, to inspire their hearts and minds. And we have, when we turn to scripture, the God-breathed little word of God. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth who will open up your Bible, and when you sincerely seek the Lord through it, when you just make it a prayer, Lord, teach me something from this passage today, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, opens your heart and your life to the truth of that passage. Like a laser beam again, getting into your heart and into your mind. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he ministers to us through scripture. Dare I ask you, do you read God's word regularly? Do you feed upon it regularly? The more you feed on the word of God, the more the Holy Spirit can illuminate your heart as you respond to this written truth. And the Holy Spirit also has the ministry of signposting Jesus the living truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we see in these verses that the Holy Spirit wants to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to show us Jesus. If you look at John 16, it talks about his convicting ministry in verse 7. And then it goes on in 12 to 15, that's John 16, he says, Jesus, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Jimmy Packer, there's a lovely clip on YouTube. I don't know whether you know the author Jim Packer. He's very elderly now, but he's written some absolutely superb books. I mean, Man of God is for me an absolutely spiritual classic that he wrote in the 1970s. But there's this clip of him talking about the Holy Spirit for about 3 minutes in very precise terms as a theologian. And one thing he says in that little slot, he says, in a way, the Holy Spirit is shy because he's always wanting people not to look at him but to look at Jesus, because his ministry is to signpost Jesus Christ to us, to introduce us to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful ministry, isn't it? The third person of the Trinity. The Father who sent Jesus, and Jesus who sends the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can take the things of Christ and reveal them to us. This is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit work within you. Let him bring Jesus vividly close to you. I find that it's so wonderful sometimes when the Holy Spirit really does come into a situation, a meeting, a service, in our lives as individuals, in a prayer meeting, and suddenly you're aware of the dynamic presence of God. And it will always come when Jesus is being uplifted. Something about communion. Something about preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, heralding the cross. The Holy Spirit takes hold of these things because he's the Spirit of truth, signposting Jesus. But also, the third way he's described, it is he is the Holy Spirit. Very emphatic in the Greek, really says the Spirit, the Holy One. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, do you not know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit? We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in these chapters, in chapter 16, 5 to 11, it talks about the Holy Spirit convicting people of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit works to reveal to us our need of God. He works in us to reveal to us our inner sinfulness. The fact that our lives are biased and warped, and that we need the saving grace of Jesus to put us right. And the Holy Spirit has a ministry like that because he wants to make people holy as he is holy. We never achieve it in our lifetime. We're all flawed and we all make mistakes and we're all impure. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to transform us and change us. But we increasingly become more Christ-like. That's wonderful, isn't it? See, a progression. The counsellor, the comforter who comes alongside us in our trouble, in our need, and ministers to us. The Spirit of truth who unveils to us the written word of God and introduces us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, who indwells our lives and sets about this mammoth task of putting us all right, changing us, sorting out those thought patterns, sorting out those bad habits, sorting out those wrong attitudes, all those things we know in us. Those battles we have with ourselves, the Holy Spirit is at work because he is the Holy Spirit. So, there we are. Three descriptions of the Holy Spirit. The Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. May we know thy dynamic, the dynamite of the Holy Spirit in our lives. May we really know that intimacy with God in every incident of life. We can't predict the future. I couldn't have done that a fortnight ago. But we can predict one thing. God is with us every step of the way, and through the resources of the Holy Spirit, he enables us to go through those things and walk with him. That's wonderful. Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we're going to celebrate communion in a bit of a different way, Lord, and in a way, it doesn't matter whether we've got breadsticks or a roll and how we drink the wine. Lord, these are symbolic. What we want to do this morning is to embrace the reality of the cross of Jesus Christ. What he's done for us. What we can know in our lives. The victory we can achieve through him. So, Lord, as we sing a hymn to prepare us, we ask, Lord, that we might be moved in our spirits again by what Jesus has done for us. For we pray in his name.